listening to Fresh Take.
You are listening to the Fresh Take Network.
It is what it do. Welcome to the ISO on the Fresh Take Network. Joshua, Adam, William Arbuthnot. It is a Sunday, and we are past the first week of the Canada West playoffs, U Sport playoffs, all that exciting stuff. Figured I'd drop a pod and talk about some of those exciting things. I think first and foremost, I want to talk about the Dinos women team, unfortunately losing to U of V on Saturday, and it's unfortunate. I really like this Dinos team. It was a privilege to be able to watch them. Amelie Collin, first of all, just the defensive tenacity that she's had all season. You know, my broadcast colleague Jermaine J.C. Cummins came up with the fantastic name of All In Collin, and that's exactly what she is. Courtney Oz did a great job defensively. Miriam Cohn, who is undoubtedly going to be on a Canada West team, senior Maya Proctor, it sucks to see the end of her season. She was a fantastic Dino, and I'm sure she'll be leading from afar in whatever she does. Lilia Skumatova, she was fantastic. Her shooting, you know, it's such a pleasure to watch. So, and I think Coach Johnny Verone coming in here, I would love to see the interim label come off of him, because I thought he did a fantastic job coaching this squad and really getting them into a position to be a winner. That U of V game, unfortunately, they just couldn't find a shot down the end. I know Polly Story, who's also a phenomenal player. It was, you know, it was really cool to see with Pollyanna Story really come back into the player that we know in the second half of the season. She started getting her shot more, started driving in. I expect big things from Pollyanna Story next season. She came off that injury, and I think it took a little bit for her to get back to the Pollyanna Story that we know. But as the season went forward, she was great. It just seemed in that U of V game, just couldn't buy a basket down the stretch there. But, you know, it was a phenomenal run by this Dinos women's squad, and we'll see how recruiting goes and everything with them. But this is a team, they still have a solid foundation there with that backcourt of Amelie Collin and with Miriam Cohn. Like I said, I expect big things from Pollyanna Story. Courtney Oz is a defensive star in this league. I think there's a lot of good building blocks there for this women's team to take a top four seed next year. They're a top five seed this year. So I think there's a real strong possibility for them to go up top of the Canada West next year. So it is a bummer to see them go out so early. I was hoping that we'd potentially get that rematch against the Huskies, because they swept them earlier in the year. And I know they're capable of beating that Huskies team, but unfortunately their season is coming to an end. On the men's side, last night we had the Calgary Dinos take on the Trinity Western Spartans. Before I kind of talk about that, I want to rewind and talk about the game I got to call on Friday, which was the Bobcats against the Trinity Western Spartans. And I just want to say that Bobcats team unfortunately got off to a slow start there. But Sultan Haderbody, man, what an absolute stud. Just the way he can carry that team. He did so. He came out with that ankle injury for a bit there. And that hurt Dwayne Thompson. You know, this is the team that fought to get that 12 seed. We saw them in Calgary just a few weeks priorly. And a really fun team, this Brandon team. Unfortunately, you know, they go out in the first round. And like I said, though, they got in and fought for that 12 seed. And I expect to see that Brandon team back in a higher position next year in Canada West. They have a lot of solid foundational pieces there. And I really like what I saw from them. For Trinity Western, man, what a great game against Calgary. It sucks to see Josh Belvin get the ankle injury that he did. I think it was at the 8-minute mark of the fourth. But that backcourt is so good. It's a real pleasure to see that backcourt as well, with Mutabazi and with Josh Belvin there. Like, they are unbelievable. And the way that Josh Belvin started off both games against Brandon and against the Dinos was absolutely phenomenal. You know, we have the CBL draft coming up, and we had three players in that game with Connor Platts, with Noah Wharton, and with Nate Patrone that were all drafted in the CBL draft. I mean, we probably saw a few more in that game yesterday. If Josh Belvin isn't drafted in the CBL draft, I'm going to be really disappointed, because that kid was absolutely electrifying. Mutabazi, I think he's got a good chance to be drafted in that as well. I think they were coached really, really well. They have a lot of great talent. It's unfortunate for them that was Belvin's senior year. And so to kind of end your senior year, you always hate to see that, especially after such a terrific first quarter in both games. He really put his mark out in his final two games as a collegiate athlete. So an absolute privilege to get a chance to see him ball out. And wherever he goes, whether it is in the CBL, international, wherever, he is going to make a mark. Mark my words, wherever he goes, because that is an absolute superstar right there in Josh Belvin. Just did a tremendous job. Palma also really liked him, what he was able to do. I love what Trinity Western was able to do. It was a little bit of, Dan Van Horn in an interview with Cammy Koepke talked too. They faced him in the playoffs the last few years, and the last time they faced them at the Jack, Money Mace, Mason Borsier, really balled out. I believe he had a triple-double in that game, and obviously then went on to play for the Calgary Surge as well, and now was a Sea Bear last time in the CEBL. But he had an absolute dynamite game, triple-double, and I think that really put him on the mark for me with what Borsier could do, and Trinity Western upset a Dinos team at that point. So you come on and watch this game, you see another superstar backcourt player, whether it be Mutabazi or, well, it be Josh Belvin, and they were balling out. But then Noah Wharton started doing his thing defensively, specifically for Noah Wharton, just absolutely balling out defensively in that one. I got to give a tip of the hat to Noah with how well he was defensively in that one. Hit a few big threes, and then Nate Patrone took over. Nate, you know, showing why he is a front runner right now for the player of the year, why he was the Canada West leading scorer. Dylan Lutz got a big three. Give me the Lutz. And, you know, I know Nate said after, job's not finished. But I know a part of it too is when we had senior night, I know Nate wants this win because he wants to be a champion. But I also know he wants to be able to have a championship celebration with his close friend and Dylan Lutz. So I know he's not going to talk about that as much in public. But I can tell you, that's a thing that I know means a lot to Patrone. It means a lot to Dylan. Two solid core pieces of this team that came from MRU and have made a mark. And as Nate said, job's not finished. They still got a way to go. But a very effective game that they had last night. Really impressed with the resilience that they had. Aiden Smith also hit a few big shots. We got to talk about Declan Peterson, who is really a freshman in Canada West basketball. Didn't get a double-double last night, but comes up with his eighth rebound. That was a huge rebound last night. So a very impressive overall performance from the Calgary Dinos. They're going on to take on U of Vic. Obviously, they don't have Diego Moffa anymore, but they're still chugging along, undefeated. Calgary will look to be the one loss and take them out, but they'll have home court next week. It's some really good matchups that we have next week between Vic. And the one thing I really want to see from Calgary in that one is get off to a hot start. I know it's very cliche. We use that at the beginning of every broadcast, but you know, this Calgary team can make a comeback, but I want to see a classic Nate Patrone get it off hot at the start. As I was talking about before, I think Noah's done a really good job with his defense in the post. That'll be an interesting play to see what goes on there. I think Declan's really, really improving. on Vic. They got a familiar face, for me at least, in Jeffrey James, who played for the Trojans last year. And they got a really deep bench. You know, you look at their bench from the last game that they had, 1, 2, 3, 4 players in double digits. So they can go deep. You know, this is the team that they lose Diego Maffa, and everyone's like, oh, okay, well, they lose Diego Maffa, that might be it for the season. But it's a team that's still going to be a really tough team to take out. So Calgary will have their work. That game is on the Friday. And on the Saturday, Manitoba have a great team. Mason Krause, the guy to watch in that, was a pleasure to watch him. They didn't go deep in their bench against Thompson Rivers, and I don't know if they will again in that one. So that'll be interesting to see where that one goes against UBC. It's unfortunate. I haven't got a chance to really see UBC this year. Didn't get a chance to see U of Vic. I did see Manitoba in a game at the U of C, so it's hard to really talk as much about some of these teams that I didn't get a chance to see in person as much. I saw U of Vic at the Calgary tournament, the Calgary Cup 2 years ago. That was a really close matchup there. So, you know, talking to some of the players and the coaches, they know it's a tough game. Vic has had their number the last few years, and they know what it takes to go to the next round. So if you want to win the championship, you had to go through Vic one way or another, and they are going to be going through them. It's going to be a great game. I wish both teams the best of luck, and wish the broadcast team that's calling that game also the best of luck. It should be a really good week for the Final Four for Canada basketball in Canada West. And then we move forward to the ACAC really quickly here. So just kind of a rundown of some of those games. Obviously for SAIT, I think they're going to be the favorites right now in this one. I've got a chance to see them. They face Concordia. Concordia's got a nice team, but I expect SAIT to win this. I like that Keanu team. I haven't got a chance to see Briarcrest either. I just know Kaylin Tucker is fantastic. She's great. St. Mary's with Kellogg and Miller, they're really good. And I almost wonder if we are destined to have a SAIT and Mary's fight here in the finals. That kind of seems to be the way that it's going to go. It's a really interesting match. SAIT took both when they faced each other, I believe it was earlier this month. So very interesting in the backcourt. SAIT's whole offense has changed with Hozalova there, but also the depth that they have now been able to bring. And don't get me wrong, when we got a chance to see Mary's at Ambrose the week that Caleb Jipp was able to break the ACAC scoring record, congratulations to Caleb again on that, but back to the women's side of things, they showed a lot of depth. Miller showed how impressive she was. She almost had a 20-20 game. She had 18 rebounds for a guard. That's phenomenal. This SAIT team, though, has completely changed its identity with Hozalova there now. But it's not just with Hozalova. It's also the depth that they bring. And I was talking, I'm kind of repeating myself here. But, you know, Ava Curl, I think she brings such a defensive intensity off the bench. And she runs the fast break so well. I'm so happy with what I've been able to see from Kyler Varga this season. You know, she had a really bad injury, and we had an injury scare that happened with her, you know, early in January, and it was really scary there. But Kyler is a gamer. She got back out there. So I'm it's really cool broadcasting. You get to watch these players throughout the ACAC, throughout Canada West, and see them start as freshmen and then go to be seniors. And this SAIT team, I've got to see them go through some highs and some lows. Specifically, you know, Ava and Kyler getting a chance to see where they've developed. Brooke and Anir being seniors. So they're going to be doing what they can. And they've been, you know, it's been really interesting to see Brooke and Anir bringing in Hozalova. They were the mainstays of scorers. And then Macy Mahalan was kind of that third scorer for the Trojans at times. And then Hozalova comes in, and all of a sudden she's kind of becoming a primary scorer. And then we see Brooke starting to find her form as a scorer, as a defensive assassin. That's the best way I can describe Brooke Baker on the defensive side of things. And then Anir still getting those classic mid-range jumps jump shots that she's able to do. And then you had Macy able to get it. Wallace comes off the bench. She shoots threes. Kiwana Sparks, she's doing fantastic in the post. I've loved getting to watch this State women's team. And Steve Schultz has came in there and done such a fantastic job with this women's team. I have to give Steve the tip of the hat. It's been an absolute honor to watch them play. You know, there's been a few times when Jermaine and I, you know, we come in and, you know, for the longest time, you know, State, you know, had those six, seven, I can't remember, ACAC championships. And we were so excited to watch those men's team. And we were saying the other day, like, out of, you know, the times we've been broadcast partners together, you know, those, some of those teams with Charlie Connor and John Smith, Ian Tevis, Murphy Bea, Jamie Mua, I can go on and on with names. Those were really fun teams to watch. And I've had some fun times with teams at Ambrose, Canada Basketball, and the Dinos. I got to say, this State team, this women's squad, is one of the top, maybe the top team I've ever got a chance to see. So they're going to have, the rest of the ACAC field is going to have a tough time taking out this State squad, because this is an absolute stacked team. It's full of a lot of high IQ people, great people on it, and I can't wait to see how it all plays out going forward here. And make no mistake, that Mary's team, getting to see them at Ambrose finally, what Abel is able to do there, and I get to work with him at Canada Hoop Circuit. That's a guy that is dialed in. That is a great coach right there. He will be ready to face off against the former Marys. There's so many storylines right there, right? Facing the former Marys coach right there. That's super exciting to see what happens there. And I love what Miller is able to do. She's going to have a great chance here when we get to the awards for Player of the Year. And Kellogg will definitely be in a conversation to make an all-ACAC team. So I'm really excited to see where everything lands, and I'll be back here to recap all that kind of stuff because I'm really excited to see what happened with this entire women's tournament taking place in Nate this week. So should be a fantastic tournament up in Nate, and I look forward to seeing what happens. And then quickly onto the men's side, a few games that stand out to me. You get State and Nate, so you get a battle of Alberta right there. I feel like this State team is coming together at the right time. I think Jaden Matthews has really taken on the role in the point guard spot of being the guy in this team. And I think they're starting to kind of finally figure out things. So, yeah, bias, call State games, but I think they're going to be a little bit of a wild card. Obviously, Keanu going to be one of the favorites in here. Briarcrest, obviously, they're going to be the home team. Again, I didn't get to see Briarcrest this year, and they're doing great things there. So, obviously, they're going to be one of the favorites. But when you got the defending national and provincial champions, you always got to keep an eye on them. And Jeremy's such a good coach. So, I'm going to keep an eye on what he's going to do. Lakeland and Mary's starting things off on Thursday is sensational. Like, what a matchup to get started with. I love that Lakeland team. Mary's, everyone knows the story about St. Mary's men's team. They've been to the last two ACAC championships, provincial championships, whatever you want to call them. And they're going to be looking for redemption. It's Brock. And it's Caleb's senior year, so Caleb just broke the record for ACAC points. I know Brock has jumped up. I think he's like fifth now, talking to the Mary staff there. So that's going to be very interesting. It's a very, very interesting ACAC men's championship. I don't think, you know, there's a favorite. Like, you look at some of the prior years, like, oh, it's going to be Sate and Keanu in the final. But then, you know, a team like Mary's comes along 2 years ago and they get themselves to the championship and punch themselves a ticket to the national championship. So anything can happen, but I think it's a very stacked set of games here, and I will be dialed in and tuned in for everything here. It's weird to not be on the mic for some of these games. I've been spoiled the last few years to call the last three ACAC championships. I wish the Briarcrest broadcast team the best of luck. They are an absolute fun time to call these ACAC championships, and hopefully we get some quality games for them. As for me, kind of talking about the broadcast side of things, like I said, like, I'm not calling ACAC championships. I'm not calling any more playoffs, as the Dinos side of their brackets are all done. But that's where you're going to get me now on this podcast and kind of recapping things. So I just wanted to kind of say it's been 12 years now behind the booth, 4 years with the Dinos, 12 with the Trojans, 2 now with Ambrose. And it's been an absolute wild ride. I'm looking forward to getting back in the booth as soon as possible. I'll be doing stuff in the summer for the Canada Hoop Circuit. So I'm looking forward to doing that. And, you know, I've been around and got to work with some fantastic people this year. Obviously, everyone knows Jermaine. So Jay doing his thing as always. The best color commentator in the biz. So shouts to Jermaine JC Cummins. Getting to work with Haley Jarmaine for an Ambrose game. That was great. The always talented Shauna Preslin. We didn't get to do as many games as we wanted to, but we got to do those Ambrose and Mary's games together. We got to see Caleb Jip break the record. So that was great. I get to be around so many talented people at all these universities. With Ambrose and Ellery Platts, who does so much stuff there. I can't even start with all the stuff that Ellery Platts does, from photography to social media to helping with the broadcast. Absolute rock star, and anyone that is associated with her and has her part of their program is absolutely lucky, and that right now is Ambrose University. So Ambrose College, Ambrose University, I can't remember which one it is, but Ambrose regardless, they are so lucky to have her. Sate Rob does an absolute fantastic job of producing there, and there, you know, it's been Sate. I'm a Sate alum, been there for 12 years rocking that broadcast. It's been, you know, a really fun year. Specifically, like I said, like watching this women's team has been an absolute joy to work at, and everyone on that staff is doing such a great job. A great athletic director there with Wade Kommel, and Sate continually pushing forward. I can't wait to the opportunity when the new stadium arena opens up. We had a chance to broadcast games in there. From what I've talked to people about and heard, like, it is going to be state-of-the-art, and I can't wait for that opportunity. You know, games in the bubble were really fun this year. It's a really cool atmosphere to be in the bubble, and I kind of should go back with Ambrose. When that crowd fills up, it's really fun in there. Same with the bubble. And, you know, we only had limited games in the Jack this year. Jack, speaking of that, that's home right now. It's 4 years. Shout to Lance and Ben Michat, the two people that are big in charge there, for letting me be part of the Canada West and U Sport and grace the mic there. I feel so blessed and honored that I have that opportunity, and watching these Canada West athletes, it's been so, and Larissa as well. Larissa, I'm going to give her a shout out as well. But it's been such an honor, and getting to watch both the teams this year. I got to do some hockey for them on PA as well. So, you know, yeah, it's crazy. 12 years now in this industry. And, you know, the greatest thing that I get to do is when these parents come up to me and they say how much they love the broadcast or how much it means to them. And I've said this before, but, you know, my sister played for the University of Alberta. She was a Panda. I know. Crazy. Now I'm a Dino. But it was always, you know, I'd always watch the away broadcasts here. And it, you know, when I was getting into broadcast, I knew how important it was to have, you know, a sister, a brother, a cousin, a partner, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, whatever, a daughter, a son, and how important that was for you to have that experience watching that loved one play the game. So I want to make sure, you know, whether it is an away team or whether it is a home team, to make that special for that person that is watching. That's always on my mind. The grandma's watching, the mom and dad are watching, that is, you know, a loved one in some capacity is watching. And I always want to bring that into my broadcast. So when I get that feedback from those individuals after a game, that's what it's all worth to me. That's, you know, as corny and cliche as it sounds, that's why I do this. It is for that feedback, and I really appreciate it. And then getting it from the players, you know, because they make mixtapes and they show off their highlights. And whenever, you know, I get to hear commentary from them or, you know, from the coaches, that, you know, I don't listen to a lot of broadcasts with the volume on, but I listen to yours. That means a lot, you know, doing this and driving sometimes these cold weather that we all have to go to here in Canada. And it's been a privilege. It's, you know, as you can tell, I'm a little bit melancholy that, you know, there's not as much to do this year for playoffs and whatnot, but there's some other great broadcast teams that are going to get the opportunity, and I look forward to listening to them and rooting them on as we grow the game here, every single game by game. And I'll be here recording a podcast for everyone. So until then, best of luck to all the teams in Canada West and ACAC and all across Canada. And cheers. Enjoy the debut.